I know what every single one of you were doing during the weekend to some form of order. Maybe you weren't sitting in front of the TV while you were doing this. Maybe you had other things going on, because if you're like me and you have kids, you have a wife, things are really, really busy, especially during the summer when kids are out of school. But I know a lot of you diehards, which you all of you did this weekend to some extent. As the weekend kept going on, as the MLB draft continued, and pick after pick after pick after pick, because I am shocked that some of these young men did not get drafted higher than where they are. Even Jay admits that he's extremely surprised that some of these young men did not get drafted higher than where they were, because Dominic Santarelli and Malachi Washington still did technically get drafted. I know what all of you did. It's like, remember the movie when some of us were kids? I know what you did last summer. I know what you did this weekend. You're sitting in front of your TV. You're sitting in front of your computer screen. You're probably or maybe out on the road, but you check Twitter, you check Facebook, or you check any kind of social media, and you keep seeing that, well, Malachi Washington is falling. Dominic Santarelli is falling. Colby Stringer hasn't been selected. Sides hasn't been selected. And Parker hasn't been selected. And you're thinking to yourself, brother, are we about to pull off literally potentially getting seven guys out of the top 100 prospects in the 2026 class? Are we literally about to have seven top 100 guys come to LSU for this upcoming baseball season? Because when I look at LSU, and by the way, you might not be completely done. We'll see how everything shakes out. With Parker Lowe, with Jordan Martinez, with Cooper Sides, with Lucas Nowacki, with Dominic Santarelli, with Nate Davis, who had already pulled his name out of the draft, with Malachi Washington, with Colby Stringer. And you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh my God, the unthinkable is about to happen. I'm sure all of you were sitting there thinking to yourself that that is exactly what is going on and what happened to you this weekend, because I was right there with you. You know, I was talking to, you know, we've had a couple of Major League Baseball scouts who have been on this show multiple times, and I'm talking to them throughout the process, and they're absolutely stunned that Malachi Washington has not been selected. They're absolutely stunned and shocked that Dominic Santarelli has not been selected. Some of them are surprised that a guy like Colby Stringer, who was offered a crap load of money by multiple teams, did not take that money and go into the draft. Some of these guys, speaking of Stringer, are already on campus and ready to go. All of them are already in Baton Rouge ready to go. And then you think of the portal class that you just added. So now that you got seven of these young men, they're going to be reaching campus, and Martinez and Lowe and Sides and Stringer and Santarelli and Washington and Nate Davis. After what you just did in the transfer portal with going and getting Landon Hood, with going and getting Beano Waters, with going and getting Angel Laya, with going and getting Jason Wax, with going and getting Dawson Park, with going and getting Kay Curlin, returning of the man himself and Stephen Milam. And you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, is odd year Jay Johnson back? I just got to tell you, probably so. But I do think that there's an overarching thing that, as Jay has been very vocal over the last 48 hours, that is 1,000% true. TV rev share, NIL. Welcome to college baseball, because you just proved a point and you proved a massive one. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Use that YouTube link if you're on Facebook. Share to all those groups. Share to all those social media pages. We greatly appreciate you doing that. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. If you're on YouTube, whereas we're trying to get to 20,000 subs before the beginning of college football season, do us a favor down below. Hit that subscribe button and notification bell. And if you're on Twitter, do us a favor by hitting that retweet button as well. You probably guessed it. As we started off the show, We will be talking about the Major League Baseball draft. We will talk about Derek Curiel and Jake Brown getting drafted where they were, along with Devin Sheeran. We will talk about the guys that are going to be exiting from your team. We will talk about the young man that will be entering your team that did not, well, I don't want to say did not get selected, but decided that they are going to be coming to campus. Dominic Santarelli, Malachi Washington, very much surprised me, and I'm very glad that they will be on your team moving forward. We'll talk about that. As well, college football is almost here, guys. In a week from today, you will be at SEC Media Days. We will talk about that as things start heating up around LSU and company. And by the way, LSU has come out and formally announced that they are not going to protect, or they're not going to back, and they're going to actively oppose the College Sports Act. We will talk about all that here tonight as well. So we got a lot to get into. Baseball is, guys, we're on July the 13th, and we're talking very deep and very much about college baseball. I would not want to have it any other way, as we probably, after tonight, really start ramping up talking about football as SEC Media Days 7 days away. Where is everybody watching from tonight? Are you in the 225, the 337, the 504, the 985, the 318, 31 great, or are you outside the state representing for somewhere inside of the state? Do us a favor, let us know in the comments below where you are watching. I see that we already have some that are doing it. Mickey says he's in the 318 Shreveport. Good to have you in here with us. Durr is in the 337. Love that emoji, kind of. Not emoji, that, what do you call that? What do you call that? The avatar picture. I love it. Big Train Kiffin says Blake was arguing with Joe about the tampering window. Yeah, that's why we ran long. I see Lars says, did Blake cancel? No, we did not cancel. Sometimes me and Joe just get to arguing and we don't get out in time. You know, we've thought about moving that our time schedule, but then the views keep coming in and we're like, yeah, we probably shouldn't do that. The 985 says, get good or good to have you in here with us. AP is in Uptown. No luck. Good to have you with us as well. Brandon is in the 205 Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Stand up and stand proud. Not really. We're just joking. Don't stand up and stand proud. Official AD is in the 985 Strong. Good to have you in here with us as well. And Big Train Kiffin is in the Frog Capital of the World, Rain, Louisiana. You know, I think Big Train Kiffin is the reason that I know that Rain, Louisiana is the Frog Capital of the World. You know, there are things that in 1,447 episodes that I never thought that I would have ever learned. Learning that Rain, Louisiana is the frog capital of the world's got to be one of them. It's got to be one of them. Got to admit. Wayno's in 504 to Parrish. Still needs some pitchers. Bullpen was terrible. We will talk about that here tonight as well. George Cleary is in the 407. Where is the 407?
407 area code. I never heard that one before.
Orlando, Florida is in the building. Central Florida is in the building. Okay. You got to love it. You absolutely. And Tallahassee. We got a lot of people in Florida here tonight, says Tiger Girl. Tiger Gal. Excuse me. 2424. Well, I'm glad that all of you are here and representing. Durr says, Dan Blake, you never drove down I-10. Their sign is big as hell. I just never saw it. Never saw it. Never did. Maybe I need to pay a little bit more attention. That's what I need to do. All right, do us a favor. Hit the like and share. We got lots that we're going to get into. We're going to go ahead and get the Protect College Sports Act, LSU opposing it right out of the gate when we get out of the break. We got a lot of draft stuff that we need to talk about. We'll get into that. We'll get into Curiel Brown. We'll get into all these guys coming in. We got a lot to talk about that. Oh, and by the way, SEC Media Days is 1 week away, so we'll get to that tonight as well. So let me get to a quick break. When we come back, we will get into all that. But before we do that, I need to tell you about our good friends over at Go24/7. Myself, Zach Nagy, and Andre Champagne had you ready to go this weekend. About 12:30, 1 o'clock, I think it was, on the message board, when before round 10 was even close to being there, we put on the board, and I'll just say this, we had a lot going on the website. We had a lot going on the message board. I told you, hey man, Malachi Washington, I still feel, is going to get drafted. He's probably going to be coming to LSU from what I'm hearing, along with Dominic Santarelli. Well, it came to pass 4 hours later. You need to get over in what we're building and what we're building over at Go24/7. Use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. Use that promo code. You'll get 60% off of an annual VIP membership. Again, AYS60 at checkout. Come join what we're building over at Go24/7. All right, let me get to a quick break. When we come back, we got lots that we need to get into. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you a new. Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dreams or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local, go red.
We're back.
All right, so we have a lot that we need to get into here today. So before we get into baseball, LSU released a statement with Dr. Wade Roos, the president of the LSU system, along with Lee Mallett, who is the chairman of the LSU Board of Supervisors, in reference to the Protect College Sports Act. You and I, more than I think a couple of other, hold on, pause, stand by. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. What is going on here? All right, wanted to clear up the picture. So, you and I, more than most, I believe, from a local standpoint, because look, we do a national show, it is what it is. You and I have talked a lot about the Protect College Sports Act. A lot of you are probably thinking to yourself, maybe you hadn't been here in quite some time, what is the Protect College Sports Act? I'm just going to ask you, for time constraints, for all of you to go and read it. Basically, in a theory, Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Maria Cantwell have tried to put a bill together that did go through the Senate Commerce Committee and passed, that they are trying to get litigation for college athletics to help try to protect college athletics. In that, the SEC and the Big Ten are fighting the Protect College Sports Act and its legislation and everything that's in that bill because, quite honestly, it's dookie water. There are things in the Protect College Sports Act that you and I have already talked about that I do think are good. Even though they call it the Lane Kiffin rule, I understand that coaches need to finish out their seasons before they go to another job. I will concede that notion for the betterment of the sport. It is what it is. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it because of the calendar that is football, for an example. Then move the calendar back. If you want coaches to finish out the season, you don't even have to put the Lane Kiffin Act as something that in college football that needs to be protected if you just change the calendar all around. That's number one. But there are things in there that I do agree with. The 5-for-5 rule, meaning you have 5 years to play 5 years. I mean, look, we cannot continue to have 6, 7, sometimes 8-year guys in college athletics and in college football. We just can't have it happen. I agree with that. I agree with the transfer rule, even though I think that there needs to be some situations circling that. Like if a head coach leaves, it doesn't go against your one-time only transfer. I'm 1,000% behind that. Kind of try to limit the active movement. You don't want the TJ Finleys of the world doing what they have been doing and going to 4 schools, 5 schools, 6 schools in so many years. With that being said, the Protect College Sports Act that has been funded and backed by guys like Cody Campbell, who is a massive booster for Texas Tech, from people in legislatures that are in the state of Texas that back Ted Cruz, that are a part of Baylor and TCU and other institutions that are in the great state of Texas, they back Ted Cruz behind this, because there's one thing that they're all trying to do here. There's one massive problem with the Protect College Sports Act. We can agree with the transfer rule. We can agree with the Lane Kiffin rule. We can agree that guys should not be 24, 25, 26 years old playing a college sports. We agree with that. But there's massive issues when it comes to the money, because of course there is. Senator Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell have done a situation where they are trying to make it an option. They put that it's optional for all of college athletics to pull their media rights. So to put all of their media rights together so that they can sell one big package and everybody make the same amount of money. Well, that is dumb. The reason that is dumb is that Texas Tech over this past week showed you why that is dumb. Texas Tech just did a deal with Monster Energy. So did the Big 12. In that deal, teams in the Big 12 are going to get $1 million for having patches of Monster Energy on their jerseys and for other things that they need to do. Schools are only going to get approximately $1 million, a lot of money, for that advertisement. The problem with that is that LSU, as an example, is going to have patches on their jerseys as well that go well over $1 million. So what do I mean? The SEC and Big Ten, from an advertising standpoint, from a TV revenue standpoint, gain to make millions and millions, tens of millions more dollars in the TV revenue contracts that they have with either Fox, CBS, ESPN, than what the Big 12 and ACC are able to garner. That is the real massive issue when it comes to this. Blake, how does this tie into LSU? The reason that this ties in to LSU is because today, I'm not going to read all of it, Wade Roos and Lee Mallett, the president of the university and the chairman of the board of LSU supervisors, came out with a statement today. They come out with some superlatives and talk about, you know, they go to blah, 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 blah. Basically, LSU puts out a statement today, and I will read this. In reference to the College Sports Act, Wade Roos and Lee Mallett state that while we appreciate all of the effort surrounding the Protect College Sports Act to Maria Cantwell and to Senator Ted Cruz, we believe key issues remain in the litigation and legislation, and we do not support the bill in its current form. We'll get to that in a minute. We look forward to working with the House, the Senate, and our fellow institutions in the Southeastern Conference to make needed improvements to this legislation. So what does this mean? What this means is that LSU by no means should they, will they, or even could they back the Protect College Sports Act, mainly due to the fact of what the finances surround it. Guys, last week, there was a big to-do because you know how people around this state are. Wade Roos called for a meeting at the governor's mansion with the four, God bless Captain America, stand by. This is starting to get on my nerves. I mean, it is pouring outside, but it's starting to get on my nerves. What does this really mean? What this means is very simple. The financial piece of this and the Protect College Sports Act They are trying to make everybody have some form of equality. They are trying to make the Big Ten, I mean the Big 12 and ACC and other conferences have a form of equality. Now, super leagues and joining super leagues have been a discussion. I don't know if that's as big of a deal, quite frankly, but really when it all comes down to this is that the SEC and Big Ten do not want to pull media rights, because if they do, there's no real significance for the SEC and Big Ten to share any form of money or any form of viewership with the Big 12 and ACC. So, let me give you a scenario of what this means. Imagine all of the LSU media that do a YouTube, radio, podcast. Let's just make an assumption. Assume that all of us had to come together and pull all of our views together to sell our media rights so that we all can have some form of equality, so that other podcasts and other situations and other people can make and financially gain from myself, from radio, from other podcasts. It makes zero sense. Why would we do that? I am honestly a little bit surprised that a Republican, I'm not trying to get political, but that Ted Cruz would even remotely come close to backing this, because it goes everything against capitalism, in my humble opinion. I'm not trying to get political. I'm not going to go there and dive deep into that. However, the SEC and Big Ten had 24 of the 25 top games from a viewership standpoint last year in college football alone. LSU, as an example, let's just be blunt, was not a good football team last year. They were not. And guys, they still had three games that were in the top 15 from a viewership standpoint. Bama, Clemson, and ironically Vanderbilt, and A&M, depending on how you view the metrics. So really four games were in that viewership window of being in the top 20, top 15, depending on, and I don't remember the order that they fell in. Why should LSU, why should the SEC, and quite frankly, why should the Big Ten want to pull their media rights to help the Big 12, who quite honestly is starting to crumble to some extent when it comes to finances? Same goes for the ACC. The same goes. Now, you can make the argument that that helps realignment. You can make the argument that that helps from super leagues not being formed. I get all of that, but it also doesn't benefit the two massive conferences that quite honestly make all the money, right? Until there's a day where a Big 10 or Big 12 teams, plural, when there is a day that multiple teams in the ACC, plural, go on dominant runs and get the viewership that the SEC and Big Ten are getting, why in the good wide world should they help you out when it's going to not benefit them? That is what this all revolves around. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to get stroked a check. Every school in the Big Ten and the SEC, if they haven't already, I'm sure it will be announced here soon, are about to get stroked a check for approximately $70 million for TV revenue. Who you think you kidnapped? Chelsea Clinton? That is why LSU is going to oppose it. Greg Sankey is massively opposing it. Other teams in the SEC with Alabama and Auburn and Florida and Tennessee are massively opposing it. I don't know if Texas is going, or Texas or Texas A&M will say anything, because Senator Ted Cruz is the one presenting this bill. I don't know if they will, but in no way in human form should they back this. Now, let me say this before we go on any further. I am for, and I would appreciate there not being situations where massive realignment doesn't happen. But at what cost to other teams in the Big Ten, in the SEC, do we think it's even remotely fair that they should be supporting the Big 12 from a financial standpoint when it comes to viewership and when it comes to TV revenue. Why should they help them? There are no real reasons why they should do that. If it comes at the cost of realignment, if it comes at the cost of the Big 12 having financial issues, that's not our problem. I have been very vocal about this for a while. I think Senator Ted Cruz and I think Maria Cantwell have their own real reasons of doing what they're doing, which brings me to my last point. If you remember, in the hearing portion of this, former Alabama and LSU head coach Nick Saban testified in front of Congress. At the end, and you probably remember this, a lot of people freaked out. Some of the things that people were saying was Nick got to benefit from having the control that he had, and he's going against NIL. Never once did he go against TV revenue or NIL. Never. Not once. Not once did he ever go against NIL and TV revenue. He told you the problems that were going to be caused by it, and no one wanted to listen. But there's also something in the bill that just as much as money makes the world go round, so does who has the power. And money and power will always dictate how things go. And a part of the Protect College Sports Act, there are parts of the bill that talk about Congress having control of college athletics and how they're run. In no way in human form should Congress, who has no idea how to manage situations, a government system that can't even manage their own budget, a Pentagon that has not passed an audit in God knows how long, you want me to allow Congress, who always is power-seeking, money-hungry, power-hungry people that get there, to run college athletics? No, that is also a part of the bill. And I think that is also a part of why Senator Ted Cruz wants this to be passed. I also think that he would want to appoint guys like Cody Campbell to help run things. It's a joke. And in no way should LSU pass it. Do I think this bill is going to pass? I don't have a crystal ball. If you're asking me my gut opinion, no, I don't think it's going to pass. I am proud, and I don't say this lightly, I am proud of what Lee Mallett, and I am proud of the statement of what Wade Roos has come out and stated. Because in no human form should Congress have any say about how college athletics are run. Can you help us pass laws and rules and antitrust laws and rules, which is a big thing about this, and giving the NCAA some level of power to come down in some form of enforcement, which is probably the biggest thing in all of this too. On the positive side is that you would actually have some enforcement that rules cannot continue to be broken and the NCAA has a leg to stand on in a federal court and state court situation. That is probably the biggest thing that will take a hit from this, is that when teams and coaches start breaking rules, that there will be antitrust laws in place that can get the NCAA to not constantly get sued by guys like Trinidad Chambliss, and they can actually fight this and win it. But at what cost? Literally speaking, the money aspect of this, the aspect of this when it comes to the power and who controls the power, no, I don't want the federal government having power. No, I do not want them trying to dictate to me what should happen in the sport that I love most, in college athletics that I love the most. So, I appreciate Wade Roos. I appreciate Lee Mallett understanding the ramifications of backing such a crappy bill. Because it's crappy. The last thing I will say on this too is you appointed, and two people are appointed, and Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell, who have literally zero idea what they're doing. None. They should have given this over to Tommy Tuberville. They should have asked Tommy Tuberville for his opinions. They didn't, and it's going to wind up hurting them. All right. I see that Specman, who is the man, gifted 50 AYS memberships on YouTube. My man. What a dude. What a dude. You gotta absolutely love Specman. You gotta love him. So this is what's gonna happen now. Specman, number one, thank you so much. I greatly, greatly appreciate you doing that. That's number one. Number two, 50 of you that watch the show tonight need to thank Specman for doing this. This is absolutely awesome. So we have 50 sponsorships that are going to be on the YouTube channel. Stand by. I'm going to try to clear up the picture one more time. Y'all stand by. All right, hopefully this clears up the picture a little bit better. Hopefully it clears up the picture a little bit better. So, if you're asking me my opinion, number one, Specman, you are the man. Thank you to him to giving 50 people a sponsorship or membership. By the way, coming up to 3,000 of you being members on the YouTube channel. So, thank you so much. That might actually get us over. So, Specman, you are the man. Thank you so much. All right, let's get moving here. So, obviously, let's get into the Major League Baseball draft that was. Let's start off with the guys that were selected this past weekend into the draft. And when I say selected, I understand that Malachi Washington, Dominic Santarelli, they were technically drafted. They obviously posted that they are going to be going to college. So, LSU had a lot of players selected in this year's Major League Baseball draft. Derek Curiel went number 5 to the Pirates in the first round. That gave, by the way, Jay Johnson 6 players in the top 10, or in the top 5, rather, and the last, or top 10, because Jacob Berry went number 6. But 6 players in the last 5 years have gone in the top 10 for Jay Johnson, being 5 years at LSU, with Derek Curiel being drafted by the Pirates. So a lot of people hating that pick. I don't really understand why. You went and got Connor Griffin. You have a lot of massive key pieces. You need, what did the Pirates need? They needed a defensive guy in center field that is a high contact guy that can get on base. That's what their team needs. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like to me Derek Curiel. So Derek Curiel goes at number 5 to the Pirates. Jake Brown goes number 65 overall to the Mariners. Huh. Isn't that interesting? 2 weeks ago, you and I talked about Jake Brown not getting out of the top 65. How do I know? Because I went and watched the YouTube short that we had from 2 weeks ago that said, I don't think Jake Brown's going to get past 65. Jake Brown went at 65 to the Seattle Mariners. Seattle is in love with Jay Johnson. They are in love at their development. They are in love with the players that he has. And that is going to continue as that front office continues to be in Seattle, without a doubt. There was a lot of conversation in reference to Jake Brown potentially coming back to LSU. Guys, for about a little bit longer, but for argument's sake, teams around Major League Baseball knew for over the last 60 days that Jake Brown was not coming back to LSU. I have been hinting at this and hinting at this and hinting at this for quite some time. There was a narrative out there with Brown that I do believe that was pushed by his camp, and that some people believed, because I love him, there were some naive situations going on and they were being utilized to push a narrative that was never true. With that being said, let's get to this. Jake Brown should have gone higher. If he would have been fully healthy, he 100% would have gotten over the 20 home run mark this season. Probably would have found himself either at or at the end of the first round. He's a fantastic player. Guys, 3 months ago, we had a lead Major League Baseball scout on this show, and he told you, from his perspective, the guy that he would take first on LSU's roster would be Jake Brown. Do I think the injury hurt him a little and sliding the way that he did? Yes. Was he ever going to fall out of the top 65? Without a doubt, no.
In 2 weeks, we talked about that. Jake Brown was just never returning, and he let teams know that about 60 days ago. I'm sorry to all of those who believe the 5-for-5 rule, which, again, we've explained. Guys, this is an age-based thing. The Major League Baseball doesn't give two flying Rudy Poos about the 5-for-5 unless it's a very unique situation. They worry about an age of a player, much less any classification that he is or going back. A 20 to 21-year-old guy is going to be more susceptible to being drafted and being a corner piece of an organization than a 22, potentially 23-year-old guy. They don't want old players. That's just the truth. With that being said, you had two outfielders that got taken in the top 65. I love it for Derek Curiel. I think the Pirates have done a really good job at scouting and developing. Look at all of the young talent that they have and Hernandez, Bear Jones, Paul Skeens, Nick Gonzalez, Bart. They have a lot of really big-time pieces in Pittsburgh, and who knows, maybe they're able to put some pieces together and potentially one day make a playoff with Skeens and Curiel and Connor Griffin, who's a former LSU commitment and signee, technically, to LSU before he went into the draft. Guys, Jake Brown's going to go into Seattle, and he's going to kill it. The thing that's different with Cade Anderson and Jake Brown is Seattle's got a really good farm organization. I think Jake is going to be able to fit in there very well. He is going to skyrocket. He is going to do a lot of really good things. He is very athletic. I see him playing center field in the minor leagues and potentially in Major League Baseball. I think the sky's the limit for Jake. I think he's so talented and so gifted and so good. So glad for him. Those two were not the only guys taken. A lot of people were looking to see if Devin Sheeran was going to get drafted. He has. The Phillies took him in the fourth round at the pick 128. I was really hoping that potentially, and I guess we will see, he's not coming back, that Devin Sheeran would find himself back in Baton Rouge. And guys, I don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see it. Devin Sheeran, if he continues on the developmental path that he's on, guys, he's going to be a bullpen arm somewhere. I wish he would have had the two seasons that was needed for him with the experience that he could have gotten. I feel like that we were not given the opportunity to see how good Devin Sheeran could be, because in his first year at LSU, he got hurt. Last year, he's really working through his first year in the SEC and did a lot of really good things. I hate that. I absolutely freaking hate that. He's going to go on and do a lot of really good things too. I think Devin Sheeran is a top 3-round pick. I think he's a steal in the fourth round to the Phillies. I think he's going to also do a lot of really good things. To roll through some of the rest of them, the Kansas City Royals at pick 299 in round 10 take Grant Fontenot. We had one of their scouts come on here and tell you how much he liked Grant Fontenot. That should not have surprised you if you watch this show. Santi Garcia went in round 12 at 372. Connor Binge went to the Marlins. Santi went to Toronto, by the way. Connor Binge went to the Miami Marlins in round 13. Gavin Guidry got selected in round 16 by the New York Mets. And Zach Cowan went in round 19 to the Cleveland Guardians. So you had Derek Curiel, Jake Brown, Devin Sheeran, Grant Fontenot, Santi Garcia, Connor Binge, Gavin Guidry, and Zach Cowan. So 8 players in total that have gotten drafted. So in all, guys, you came out solid. I do hope that we see some good things with Chris Stanfield. I hate it for him. I saw that Dex Dathy signed a free agency deal. Hope the best for him as well. So a really strong draft for LSU, especially at the top. It's also a big deal when Jake can go in there and say to any young man in America, hey, man, I've had 6 guys picked it in the top and selected in the top 10 in the last 5 years. Guys, every single year per average that Jay has been here, he's had somebody that has been drafted inside the top 10. I would need a bean count this.
I don't think anybody else in America can say that because Jay brings in the best talent in the country. So absolutely fantastic and flawless. I'm glad and happy for all of those guys and where they are going. And focusing in on the main topic of what happened during this year's Major League Baseball draft is something that I never humanly thought was possible. Something that I never thought was plausible. Something that, guys, quite honestly, I just didn't see, and I don't think a lot of people saw that would really happen. Over this weekend, LSU was able to bring in the following young men, and I know we're going to leave some off, but some of these guys that some believed very likely could have been drafted. The number 28 player in the country in Malachi Washington did get selected in the 18th round by the Pittsburgh Pirates. However, Malachi Washington has stated on social media that he will be coming to Baton Rouge. Jay Johnson committed today that he feels very strongly that Malachi Washington is going to be here. Nate Davis, who was the number 34 player in the country a couple of weeks ago, pulled his name out of the draft, which was the start of all of this. And the number 45 player in Dominic Santarelli, also who got drafted in the 18th round, announced on social media that he will be making his way to Baton Rouge. Let's stop right there for just a moment. If you would have told me when the draft started that one of those guys would be in Baton Rouge and it would have only been Nate Davis, I would have said to you, yeah, that makes sense. It makes complete and total sense that you are in a situation where you only got one of those three. But that's not what happened. You got all three. You were able to bring in Malachi Washington, who, in my humble opinion, is a lot like Dylan Cruz, just a couple of inches taller. High contact, got really good power, very athletic, very rangy, and has the talent level to start in center field day one for you right now. That is the level of player that you're getting. Guys, in a lot of these mock drafts, a lot of people thought that Malachi Washington was not going to even remotely come close to seeing himself in the purple and gold. What a steal. Majority of the time, when you have a top 28 player in the country in high school coming out, he's going to get drafted in the first two rounds. That's just normally how a lot of these things work. But as Jay kind of hinted at today, with TV revenue and NIL, things in college baseball are starting to change. I'm going to let Jay elaborate more on that for when he wants to. But you also brought in Dominic Santarelli. Guys, two dudes that very easily, in 3 years, can find themselves in the same situation that Paul Skenes, that Dylan Cruz, that Jacob Berry, that Derek Curiel, all found themselves after leaving LSU and being first-round picks, potentially being top 10 picks. Guys, quite frankly and quite honestly, Malachi Washington and Dominic Santarelli could be complete game changers from a freshman class coming in. You are adding three players with Nate Davis, Malachi Washington, and Dominic Santarelli that can come in and hit for high averages. They're very athletic. Santarelli has got light tower power, was in the combine a couple of weeks ago hitting with a wood bat. Balls were flying off the bat at 114 miles an hour in Arizona. He's absolutely dominating the baseball. He's got Herschel Walker-sized quads, mega paws, but the dude is very well put together for a baseball player and hits with extreme power. And you say to yourself, let me just say it for me. I say to myself, I don't know if some of these guys and Malachi, I could see Malachi Washington starting in center. I can see Dominic Santarelli starting at first. That's how good of players you're bringing in. Imagine potentially bringing in a Derek Curiel, who is the top 30 player coming out of high school. Imagine bringing in Dylan Cruz, who is a top 30 player coming out of high school. What happens when you bring in three of them? Because Malachi Washington was the number 28 player. Nate Davis was the number 34 player. And Dominic Santarelli, I think more because of maybe just his overall type, was the number 45 overall player. Guys, you would be lucky to get one of the three. Now you've gotten all three. We will get to the order and the lineup and this team overall in just a moment. These are dudes, man. And I am absolutely stunned. Some other guys that announced that they are going to be coming to campus is Lucas Nowrocki. Jay announced today that not only will he, as a left-handed pitcher, be on the mound and do a high quality of it, he also went to the draft and hit the ball very well. I mean, went to the combine, excuse me, and hit the ball very well. We just saw a two-way guy who came in not too long ago, 3 years ago, just get taken in the first two rounds of this year's Major League Baseball draft, and he never pitched once. His name was Jake Brown. Is that going to happen again? We will see. You brought in Cooper Sides, who tells Go 24/7 that he potentially sees himself coming to LSU, developing himself, and becoming a first-round overall pick in 3 years. The 6'6 right-handed pitcher has got absolutely electric stuff. Do I think he can find himself in being a guy like a Chase Shores? I don't know about that. I mean, Chase Shores, guys, was in year three, was religiously throwing the ball at 101, 102. I don't know if he can be that. But, guys, he was a top 50 player. A lot of people thought that there was a chance that he was going to get drafted as well. And he didn't. And I believe that Cooper Sides is going to be one of those young men that finds himself pushing. I don't know if he's going to be in a rotation. I think that's too much to ask as a freshman. But 1,000% is going to be an arm that you utilize going into next year. And guys, we always know this in the SEC. It doesn't matter who you are of what part of the season. At some point, Cooper Sides is going to find himself next year needing to get outs in the SEC. We've seen high-level guys like Cade Anderson. We've seen high-leverage guys like Dylan Cruz as true freshmen, whether you're on the mound or not. We've seen Chase Shores. It doesn't matter if you're in the lineup or in the field or on the mound. As freshmen, when you are this talented, you're William Schmidt, even as a freshman, you're going to find yourself in the SEC at some point needing to get out, and that is what Cooper Sides is going to give you. 6'6 frame. That is absolutely electric. I'm really excited to see what he does as well. You also got Parker Lowe that is coming to campus, the number 97 overall player, and Jordan Martinez, both shortstops. A lot of people thought that there was a situation that they would find themselves in Baton Rouge. They will be. At least it's what it seems like as of right now. Last but not least, Colby Stringer, the young man who completely rose in his senior season. Ole Miss, LSU, Mississippi State, all teams his senior year that were after him. And then the Major League Baseball draft also started calling. I know I put this on Twitter yesterday, not even guessing, getting from multiple sides and multiple sources that Colby Stringer turned down a crap load of money to come to LSU. Colby Stringer for me is a young man that I don't know if doesn't find himself starting midweeks as a true freshman, a guy that throws 95, 96, 97, who has got an absolutely disgusting splitter, who's got a very good slider, and who is very electric and throws a whole bunch of strikes. This young man's going to pitch as a freshman, and he is going to pitch a lot, so you better be ready. Guys, you got seven studs. You got seven absolutely fantastic players that a lot of people thought could find themselves in a situation where they're going to get hear their name called in the draft and they're going to go. And all of those guys are coming to LSU. What a steal. What an outright win for Jay Johnson and what an outright win for LSU. So now I look at this team. Now I look at this lineup and I look at this team as a whole with your starting rotation, guys coming out of the bullpen and say, guys, you're absolutely loaded. Just going through the lineup alone, let's go through it. You have Cade Arrambeidy that returns, who had 18 bombs in the SEC last year. Cade has got to get better behind the plate and blocking up stuff. He has got to get better at being a solid rock behind the plate. You have potentially Mason Braun or Dominic Santarelli, who will be at first. You have Cade Kierlin that will be at second. Potentially Dawson Park at third, not arguing with people. Let's see how it all shakes out. You got Steven Milam at short, Beano Waters in left, either Davis, Washington, or Jason Wax in center field, Angel Laya, Washington, or Nate Davis in right. All guys like Angel Laya, Beano Waters, Malachi Washington, Nate Davis that can find themselves being first-round selections. That's not even me saying it. That's Baseball America saying it. It's Perfect Gamix saying it. Guys, you might have five. You could. Let's even back off that some. You potentially could have five outfielders on your team next year that will be top 65 picks in years to come. That is loaded. You are stacked. You are stacked along your infield, and defensively, you are so much better. With the addition of Dawson Park, who in next year's draft currently sits as a top 40 prospect, you know what you're getting in Steven Milam. And God forbid, Cade Kierlin, who is a Cape All-Star this year or this summer, doesn't get back to some more of his freshman ways. You have a good idea in what you're at minimum getting with Mason Braun, who is a high contact guy and is going to get on base a lot. And in returning and bringing in potentially a young man in Dominic Santarelli who's got serious light tower power. I haven't even mentioned Omar Serna. I haven't even mentioned Eddie Yaman. I haven't mentioned Jack Ruckert. I haven't mentioned William Patrick. You are loaded. The narrative on social media started to form that you are in a situation where fall scrimmages are going to be absolutely insane this fall. Yeah, no shit. No shit. You are loaded. You, like you said it last year, you ain't loaded. You're loaded, guys. You potentially, even with Dawson Park, with Beano Waters, with Washington, with Santarelli, with Angel Laya, with Nate Davis, with Cade Arrambeidy, with Omar Serna. Guys, you might have 8 to 9 just in your lineup going into next year alone. Guys that are sitting on your bench alone, 9 guys that could be selected in the top 3 rounds. That's how talented they are when they hear their name called. That is insane. Now, the question will be, what do you do on the mound? That will be the question all offseason. That will be the question going into the fall. That will be a question going into February of next year. That will be a question when you enter SEC play. And that will be a question when you're on your road on the road to Omaha. Because it always is. Can Cooper Moore, William Schmidt, Cooper Evans, Cooper Williams, Landon Hood find a way to develop and start locking people down? Are you going to have one of these freshmen that come in like a Cooper Sides, Noel Rocky, Colby Stringer, that are able to provide you enough depth and are able to throw enough strikes and get enough outs to where you have a very solid bullpen? I don't know. That will be the question all offseason. That will be the question when the season starts. You couldn't stop a bloody nose with a tampon last year on the mound. You couldn't throw enough strikes. Are these guys going to be able to develop at a high enough level to get you back to your ultimate goal and getting 3 national championships with Jay Johnson in 5 years? That's the question. because your lineup alone, you are stacked. You are stacked. It is going to be a bloodbath this fall to see where all of this stuff trickles down. I don't know if Jason Wax is going to be able to play start in center field. No idea, because Malachi Washington is that special. A lot of people project him to be that special. I don't know if William Schmidt, you know, like, I mean, William Schmidt is gifted. Cooper Evans is gifted. Guys, what, you know, is LSU going to pull out an Anthony Ianson again and Landon Hood? Are one of these freshmen going to absolutely kill it as a true freshman? Who knows? What I do know is that your lineup is stacked. Where's the pitching going to be? Will be the ultimate question. All right. I see that we have some super chats and people who became members in the YouTube channel. We will get to those next. Stay with us as soon as we come out of the break.
Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotion. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to the website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority.
Guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over the Drake Williams Law Firm, drakewilliamslawfirm.com. If you've been injured in a car wreck or have questions about a personal injury claim, call the Drake Williams Law Firm today. Ernie Drake and Ryan Williams represent injury victims all across the great state of Louisiana. Serving Louisiana families since 1981, whether you're in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Shreveport, or the great parish of Tangipahoa, the Drake Williams Law Firm is ready to help. With local roots and statewide representation, give them a call right now. 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600. And when you do, you will get a free consultation. The Drake Williams Law Firm, where they've been serving Louisiana families since 1981.
We're back.
Something that I forgot to say in the last segment. You're asking yourself if you're a national title contender with everything that just happened in the draft, bringing in Malachi Washington, what you did in the portal and bringing in Beno Waters, Dawson Park, Angel Laya, Landon Hood, bringing in Dominic Santarelli, bringing in some of these arms. You're going to ask, returning Stephen Milam, returning Cade Aaron Beatty, returning Omar Serna. The question that you're asking yourself is LSU potentially a national championship caliber again team going into 2027? Guys, I'll make a stand. The answer is yes. I know that you got a long way to go. You got a lot that you got to do. Pitching has got to find a way to develop and be better. You're damn right, I think, that you have a chance. By the way, as I see the home run derby, Ben Rice is stinking it up. The Yankee season has completely depressed me. Completely and utterly depressed me. As he just hits another bomb. Is that his sixth? Yeah. All right, Ben Rice. Come on, man. We got to finish it. All right. So, before we get out of here, I'm going to do this a little bit more on Thursday. And I don't even need my notebook for this. SEC Media Days start a week from today. And we do a segment every single year. So I'm just going to leave you with this before we get to the Super Chats and members. Every single year, you and I do a segment about the narrative that will be versus the reality of what it will be for LSU going into SEC Media Days and leaving SEC Media Days. Guys, this year, I'm going to predict the future yet again for you. What is going to happen going into the SEC Media Days for LSU is people are going to, and all of the buzz is going to be about LSU versus Ole Miss. Can LSU make a playoff because they spent all that money? And is Lane Kiffin going to be able to get LSU back to the promised land? That is the three things that are going to be talked about the most when LSU goes into SEC Media Days next week. Here's the reality of what everybody is going to walk out of there saying about LSU. Now it gets real. All the things that you talked about with Lane Kiffin and you put down on him about the Vanity Fair piece, even though he's taken out of context and all of you knew it. Whether it is, can Lane go into Ole Miss? Guys, people are still previewing today. I saw this again today. People are still previewing. Yet again, the LSU versus Ole Miss game. Do what? LSU better worry about Clemson. Ole Miss better worry about Louisville. Louisville returns an edge guy that had 9 sacks a season ago. That Louisville team of last year knocked off Miami, who is a drive away from winning a national title. And you're going to sit here and tell me that they couldn't? Okay. The reality of what is going to be said about LSU coming out of SEC Media Days, and I do expect for the quote-unquote rankings to show this, LSU is going to be a top 5 SEC team. When all the media votes and all is said and done, when you come out of there on Thursday, LSU is going to be a top 5 team in the SEC. Because when it's all said and done and everyone tries to get their viral clips out on social media, they're trying to get Lane to talk about Ole Miss. They're trying to get everybody to talk about the Ole Miss game. When it's all said and done and all of the bullshit is out of the way, what's really going to be said about you going into the season when people actually talk about on the field and stop with all of the chaos and stop with all of the BS is going to be that they think that you're a really good team. Because now, after this entire offseason, from December to January to February to March to April to May to June and halfway through July, in the 7.5 months that Lane Kiffin has been here, it has been nothing but people talking about everything under the sun besides what is going to happen on the field. Nobody is talking about how good or bad or indifferent LSU is going to be on the field. They want all to talk about all the other chaos. And you know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Lane talking about all of the time of the rat poison. Right? He talks about, oh, we can't hear that. We got a long way to go. Rat poison. Steals it from Nick. Isn't it funny that you continue to go through off seasons, whether it was Lane at Ole Miss or now at LSU, that the narrative going into the season has nothing to do with on the field? Remember, the only thing that people talked about with Brian Kelly was putting on the pressure of, man, they better make a playoff. Man, they better make a playoff. Now, there's some out there that, well, LSU better make a playoff. This whole offseason, nobody's talked about Ty Benefield. No one's talked about Jackson Harris. Nobody's talked about Winnie Watkins. They all wonder what Sam Levitt can do in this offense. No one's talking about Dylan Jones. No one's talking about the 3 5-star defensive linemen that you got in as freshmen. No one's talking about Prince Will. No one's talking about Jordan Ross. No one's talking about DJ Pickett. No one's talking about PJ Woodland, because no one cares, because they only want to talk about the bullshit. When it's all said and done and reality for everyone around the nation starts setting in from the media, people are going to say, yeah, this is going to be a really damn good LSU football team. Yeah, no duh. That's the narrative coming out of SEC Media Days versus the reality of it. All right. I want to thank Specman again for giving us 50 memberships. So 50 of you tonight watching the show are going to get memberships thankful to Specman. Y'all give Specman a big old thank you. Shaquan with two super chats. Both are $10. He says, two parts. You know what's crazy to me coming from a guy who really just started watching baseball 2 years ago? The MLB drafting high school players over college players, I get it, some guys are just dudes, but at the end of the day, these guys have been against going up against college competition and guys who have been going against high schoolers. Does that not play a big factor? It does, but I think guys like Benny Latino or Andy Cannizzaro, who's now a scout, what those guys would probably tell you is they would say that they can get very talented players and mold them in their system so they don't form any bad habits in high school or in college that they have to break. That's what they would tell you, is you can get them in, these high guys, and mold them and develop them from inside your system versus a college system. That's what they would tell you. But yeah, it is tough for high school players, man. It's much tougher. That's why you see a lot of these first and second round guys from college. Like Ben McDonald talks about this all the time. The quickest path to Major League Baseball is going to college. And then when you go to college, being a high round pick, because look, guys, Cade Anderson very well could find himself around August, September being called up, especially if Seattle is on a playoff level run. 100% could find himself in that position. Same with Anthony Ianson to some extent, but I don't know. Boston, you know, I love Anthony, but I hate the Red Sox. Shaquan also sends a $5 super chat, says, or am I looking at it wrong? I think you're looking at it a little bit wrong, but not really. The top guys I see, maybe I can see. Is it just them wanting to develop them themselves? Yes. Yeah, so we just talked about that. 1,000%. It's them wanting to develop them personally. All right, last one. Shaquan, who's been a member for 8 months, says, watching from the 474 Fort Smith, Arkansas, hashtag go Tigers. All right, shout out to Specman. Mickey says, LMAO at the Yankees. I know. It sucks. We'll see y'all again tomorrow. Done it officially now that we're probably not going to be talking about baseball. I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit baseball tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have some things sprinkled in a little bit more. Football's really here now. No turning back. We'll see y'all tomorrow to talk about it. Peace.